The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. My message today is the essence of my message regarding the Bible. Overview. The Bible is the most widely distributed book in all of history, with the estimated volume printed being in excess of 5 billion copies, as of 1995, translated into over 349 languages, and is the best-selling book of non-fiction of all time. Notwithstanding these statistics relative to the matters of the Almighty Creator, the Bible is a very limited book that does not deliver on what is claimed for it. This broadcast summarizes the essence of my message regarding the Bible. We start out by stating that the Bible is a very important history book, but not the Word of God. We note that there are innumerable English translations and versions, and mention four recommended versions. It is stressed that the Bible does contain errors, and the New Testament is based on fragments of parchment, and that the Old Testament is also based on fragments. It is recognized that there was miraculous assistance in compiling the Bible, and that if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, Father Yah, the Creator, is forced to show up. We note that the Bible provides little guidance regarding the anointed life or life generally. It is noted that the original texts reflect impression, opinions, prejudices, judgments, etc. It is stated that the Creator says that the Bible is the greatest idol in the world today, and I present as a postscript the biggest error crippling believers. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March, 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that He was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop down. For previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio in quotes. So today's message, 2022-0703, the essence of my message regarding the Bible, originally published in 2021-0406. The Bible is the most widely distributed book in all of history, with the estimated volume printed being in excess of 5 billion copies as of 1995, translated into 349 languages. See the website of Guinness World Records, World Records Best-Selling Book of Nonfiction, or just Google Best-Selling Book of Nonfiction, or how many Bibles there are in the world. Notwithstanding these statistics relative to the matters of the Almighty Creator, the Bible is a very limited book that does not deliver on what is claimed for it. Following are the points which summarize the essence of my message regarding the Bible. Number one, it's a very important history book. The Bible is a very important history book about people who had relationships with the Almighty, but nothing more. It traces some of the bloodline of Yeshua and of some of the most highly anointed ones from about 4,500 years ago to about 2,000 years ago. It contains other elements such as Proverbs, which is wisdom, Psalms, which are songs, etc., and some prophetic foretelling relating to the Almighty's plans for future events. That said, it is not the only anointed book. It's not the only inspired book. There's many, many more books available about the matters of the Almighty. It's important to read the Bible a few times and just understand what's going on there. The important point to note is that these were ordinary people like you and me, filled with the Spirit of Yah, that did extraordinary things. It's available to you to be so filled with the Spirit of Yah, and for you also to do extraordinary things. It's up to you to decide whether you're going to coast along with a meaningless, low-level relationship with the Almighty Creator, or whether you're going to go all out to build a deep relationship with Him, get filled with His Spirit, so that you can do mighty works on His behalf. That's the thing. Could you stand up to an apostate ruler today and say, I will not worship your idol, even though you throw me into the fiery furnace, and then come out of the furnace alive? That's the sort of thing we're talking about. Number two, the Bible is not the Word of God. Despite widespread belief that the Bible is the Word of God or the Word of Yah or whatever, this is false. The Almighty says that around 2.5% of the book is inspired. The rest is simply the accounts of men and women as recorded, transcribed, translated, and shared over the years. The lack of inspiration is not an issue, as most of the book is reasonably accurate historical accounts. You don't need to be anointed and inspired to write an accurate history book. I've recently published an article which is, can you prove that the Bible is the holy word of God? And in that I go into the implications of what the implications would be if the Bible were the word of God. And I systematically analyze each of those attributes and evidence that on that basis, the Bible is not the word of God. It's simply a book. And it's important to recognize, once you get over the shock that the Bible is not the word of God and you just recognize it as a useful book, your whole paradigm expands, your whole worldview around the matters of the Almighty expands, and you become open to Father speaking to you through innumerable other books, other people, and having your own deep relationship with Father and realizing that there's a huge amount more to serving Father than is portrayed in the Bible. Then there are innumerable English translations and versions. There are innumerable translations and versions of the Bible, particularly in English, reflecting the challenges of translating from Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, as well as various opinions as to what the original writers were seeking to communicate. These versions range from useful variants that are helpful to the reader to others that are in such gross error that it is dangerous to read them. Some authors have died prematurely as a judgment for their error. The translations that I recommend are, number one, the Amplified Bible from Zondervan, which is available on Amazon. It's a very useful translation that seeks to capture the multifaceted meaning of the original language. It's strongly recommended. It still contains numerous errors in terms of language. God instead of the Almighty, the Lord instead of Yah, the eternally self-existing, Jesus instead of Yeshua, Jesus is God, Bible's the word of God, etc. So I'll go on to a couple of other versions in a minute, but the thing to understand is that translating these original scripts from their original languages into English or any other language is fraught with difficulty. English is a relatively flat language compared to Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. The result being, if you do a word-for-word translation, you lose a whole lot of insight. And the Amplified Bible counters that by giving you multiple words to replace a single word of translation. So I strongly recommend the Amplified. It's a very readable and very useful translation. I've read it a few times. Then secondly, the King James Version, an early English translation that is regarded as the most accurate by many people, as it is free of many of the doctrinal influences of later versions. But it contains the same errors as the Amplified. Then for the Jewish Old Testament, I recommend the Living Torah by Rabbi Ariah Kaplan, which is available on Amazon. Just look up the Living Torah on Amazon. Also the companion volumes, the Living Nacht and the Early Prophets, also on Amazon. It's an informative rendering of the first five books of the Bible and of the early prophets, and it also contains errors. Incidentally, both the Amplified and the King James are available as free PDFs to download, and they're also embedded in reference software like Bible Hub Online. And then the fourth translation that I recommend is the Scriptures from the Institute of Scripture Research in South Africa. It's available on Amazon, also from Kodesh Books in South Africa. It's also free electronically from the Institute of Scriptural Research. Free downloads, free scriptures, downloads, HTML. In my opinion, this is one of the most accurate translations, but it's more difficult to read because it retains key Hebrew words, which are uncomfortable. It's worth reading at least once you've read the Amplified and the King James. There's still error with regard to Messiah versus the Anointed Ones, but at least some of the errors with regard to names have been rectified. My standpoint is if you read those four volumes, or the Living Torah is three volumes, but if you read those four different books, you will have a pretty good handle on what's in the Bible. After that, you can move on. I recommend that if you've not yet read the Bible, that you limit yourself to the above versions, read in the sequence given, one time each. Then move on to other reading. This will be more than sufficient. In reading the Bible, take particular note of the highly anointed ones, and where appropriate, ask Father to anoint you as they were anointed, or to give you a relationship with him as they had. Beyond that, there's no point in spending further time on the Bible other than a few passages that contain important principles, most of which have been comprehensively illuminated by anointed Christian teachers over the last two centuries. So, is a wealth of writings about the Almighty. There are writings in different religions. So there's the Quran, for example. There are books in yogis, there are books in Judaism, there are books in Islam, there are books in all sorts of places. And certainly within the religious establishment, which is where I sort of was grounded, there is a huge amount of written material. It's not all valid. Some of it has got serious error. So you've got to ask Father to help you to discern what you should read and what you shouldn't read. You need to get down on your knees with him. Ask him to help you when it comes to buying books. Ask him to help you when it comes to reading books. Sometimes he may tell you to buy a book and he's only interested in one page in that book in order to teach you something that you need to know. So don't just slavishly buy books and read books. Ask Father to guide you. Ask him to help you. And point number four, the Bible does contain errors. Contrary to popular belief, the Bible does contain errors. Consider, for example, the death of Judas Iscariot is described completely differently in the book of Matthew and the book of Acts in the New Testament. Two conflicting reasons are given for King David numbering Israel, etc. These are glaringly obvious errors. There are websites that pick holes in the accuracy of the Bible, and I choose not to reference them because that is not my point. My point here is to simply say that the belief in certain quarters that the Bible is without error are provably false and they should be rejected. My key point here is simply that, as with any other book, read with your critical faculties engaged. Do not just take it for granted. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask for guidance. And if it really does not make sense, park it and do not take it on board. So, the Bible, as I said earlier, is actually very, very incomplete. If you try and build your whole doctrine, your whole mindset based on that one book, you're massively constrained and you're not open to hearing Father tell you things that are either not in the book or that indicate that some parts of the book are not accurate. So I would encourage you just to take the book and say, Father, I choose to believe this is no longer your word or not your word. I'm going to put it on one side and I ask you to show me what to read, what videos to watch, and so forth. In point number five, the New Testament is based on fragments of parchment. It is important to also be aware that the so-called New Testament originated from fragments of parchment from diverse sources. Of more relevance, many years ago, I came across a report that indicated there were diverse manuscripts on which the so-called New Testament was based. such that differences between versions of source manuscripts to the tune of around 1,250 had been found. I've not found this reference again, and there are indications that this information has been suppressed. The key point is that the New Testament is not nearly as reliable as it is portrayed to be by some. If you want to investigate further, look on Wikipedia, lists of New Testament manuscripts, and their associated links. Note that overall, the New Testament texts are remarkably reliable given their history. This is not a problem once you regard the Bible as a collection of historical texts of some value and cease trying to force it to be the Word of God and without error. So if you dig into it, you will find that the manuscripts on which the New Testament is based are jagged chunks of parchment. And if you read critically, you will realize that the text, the English text, is also jagged in the sense that there are incomplete paragraphs, incomplete sentences, incomplete concepts. It's all bits and pieces cobbled together. Do you honestly think that that's really all that the Almighty could do to communicate with you? I think not. Then point number six, the Old Testament is also based on fragments. Less clearly known is that the so-called Old Testament is also largely based on fragments, with all the so-called books prior to the exile to Babylon in about 597 BC being based on fragments. Consider the context of the statement. In about 586 BC, the people of Judah in Israel went into exile in Babylon on foot, taking what they could to survive. The religious texts were recorded on large scrolls that they were unable to take with them. So they took with them fragments, or when they were able to in Babylon, they wrote down passages from memory. If you read these passages attentively, you will see that they are made up of assemblies of fragments. So once again, we find that the Bible is not particularly reliable as a document and should be read with care and with prayer. Note that overall, the texts are remarkably reliable given their history. Again, this is not a problem once you regard the Bible as a collection of historical texts of some value and cease trying to force it to be the Word of God and without error. Try and put yourself in the position of those people in Jerusalem when Jerusalem was about to fall. They are going to walk some many miles, I think it's over 1,000 miles, in prison convoy with the few belongings that they can manage to scrabble together and carry on their backs and maybe the odd cart or whatever, driven by hostile soldiers. And the Bible of the time, the Torah, on massive scrolls, they didn't take those with them. Think about it. That said, there was miraculous assistance in compiling the Bible. As a consequence of persecution and people going into exile in the centuries after Yeshua, the available writings were widely distributed so that those who came to assemble the Bible had to go to some lengths to collect and collate as much information as possible. At this time, the satanic and demonic realm was doing all they could to eliminate all knowledge of the matters of the Almighty, and so there were instances of divine information, intervention, and favor with regard to assembling the texts. Because of this divine intervention, the idea that the resulting collection of texts was the Word of God found its origin. As noted above, this belief is unfounded and erroneous. So it's important to understand the overall spiritual context here. When Yeshua came, Jesus, the world was a mess. Israel was a mess. Yeshua touched the lives of a small number of people. After he died, a somewhat greater number of people were touched. And very quickly, they fell into apostasy and error, They were persecuted. So bits were written out by hand, copied and copied and copied, translated from Hebrew into Greek. The original Hebrew writings were largely destroyed. And so by the time that somebody decided to collate all of this into a book, it was quite a challenge. And Father intervened to help with that because he wanted to preserve that basic information. But then the satanic and demonic turned it around and said, okay, well, we'll just diminish the value of the book. This is an important point. If you believe that the Bible is the Word of Yah, the Word of God, Yah, the Almighty Creator, is forced to show up. Beyond this, it is important to understand that if you believe the Bible is the Word of God or the Word of Yah, and go to it with that expectation and exercise your faith around it, that the Almighty is obliged to show up in response to your faith. This does not prove that the Bible is the Word of God. It simply proves the Almighty honors your faith. This is something that Yah calls the force of faith. A lot of what people claim the Bible says is not what the Bible says, but what Yah has said to people in response to their questions about what the Bible says. So this is really important to understand. If you look at a lot of teachings that are so-called Bible-based teachings, they will take a verse here and a verse there and a verse there, and then they'll produce quite frequently a whole book of 50, 100, 200 pages based on their experience and their interpretation of what those few passages say, because they're filled with the Spirit of Yah, they've been given inspiration, they've drawn from other sources, and they've built a whole story. And they attribute that to the sort of magic of the Bible, but it's not the Bible. It's the Spirit of Yah working with what they've read in the Bible, working with what they're able to hear from him, working with what they hear from others, working with what they read from others, working from what others say. And just a little bit was triggered by a few key words in the Bible. Then, point number 9, there is little guidance in the Bible regarding the anointed life or life generally. It is important to recognize that the bulk of the Bible is simply historical account. There are only limited passages that provide guidance on living the anointed life. That's the life filled with the Spirit of Yah, or for that matter, any guidance on living life generally. To say the Bible is the handbook to life, as some claim, is therefore fallacious. This is not serious once you let go of wrong beliefs. There are numerous other reasonably accurate history books and modern books with guidance on most topics. The art here is to pray appropriately and ask Father questions constantly, and then listen and take note attentively. So what am I saying? If you look at the entire ambit of your life in earth, both the portion of your life that speaks to you as a believer and the portion of your life that speaks to you just as a human being who is seeking to live life on this planet, earn a living, raise a family, have a place to stay. There's almost nothing in the Bible about almost everything that you will encounter day to day. You can lift fragments, as I said a minute ago, you can go and pick out a verse here or a couple of verses there, and they will point you in some general direction, which the Spirit of Yah is then able to elaborate for you. But per se, in the Bible, it really isn't very much. Most of it is just historical account. That's all it is. And then you can ask questions about why did Yeshua do this? Why did Isaiah do that? Why did Jeremiah do this? And the answer is because of a relationship with the Almighty, because they were filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. Then the original texts reflect the impressions, the opinions, the prejudices, the judgments, etc., of the people who wrote them. The original texts of the Bible reflect the impressions, the opinions, the prejudices, the judgments, the mistaken beliefs, and so on, of the writers and those they wrote about. This applies to all writings. So a lot of vengefulness, anger, killing, etc., is more a reflection of the anger and prejudice of the individual human beings being described or writing the text, and very little a reflection of the true desires of the Almighty Creator. Fundamentally, Yah, the Almighty Creator, is loving and does not desire violence and ugly behavior. That is the preserve of fallen men. Note that very few people really understand the anointing being filled with the Spirit of Yah. So virtually all writings about anointed ones miss the point at some level. I've experienced this in my own life. I've experienced much under the anointing with inspiration, and I see how most people, even people close to me, do not understand what I'm saying much of the time. To illustrate my point, we read about Noah and the flood, but there's no record of the private conversation between Noah and the Almighty Creator that led to the flood. There's also no record of the ice comet impact that caused the flood, because no being survived to tell the tale. The same applies to many other situations. So the Bible, and for that matter, every third-party account of the conduct of highly anointed ones, are at best superficial and at worst totally miss the point. So if you read carefully the Gospels about Yeshua, there's significant lack of understanding about what was really going on there. It's the interpretation of an observer who doesn't understand fully how Yah works. And then we build a whole thesis around the inaccurate and incomplete observations of a handful of people. And half the time we don't even know who wrote it. And there's nothing to say, I, Matthew, hereby testify that I was close to Yeshua and I observed all these things and I've written them down and it's 100% accurate, so help me Yah. Just not like it, folks. There's nothing like that anywhere in the Bible. So why put that on the Bible? And now, today, the Creator says the Bible is the greatest idol in the world today. So we see that the Bible is not what it's claimed for it. At best, it's a useful history book, nothing more. However, it has been hyped up to be the most important book on the planet, to the point where, as I said above, more than 5 billion copies have been printed as of 2015. You may ask how this is if the book is not what is claimed for it. The brutal truth is that the satanic and demonic have encouraged distribution because it is such a limited and distracting book, and because of the lies that are propagated about it being the Word of God, Scripture, etc. The forces of darkness have very successfully energized human beings to use the Bible for evil. The situation is so serious that Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, now hates the Bible and says that it is the greatest idol in the world today. Bible schools, Bible study, etc., are largely distractions that get in the way of the Almighty's desire for a deep personal relationship with every human being. Most believers and all unbelievers who refer to the Bible have relationships with their Bibles instead of seeking a deep personal relationship with the Creator. And for this reason, he hates it. Then the Creator has not ceased speaking today. In considering all of the above, it is vital to recognize that the Creator has not ceased speaking to human beings today, let alone 2,000 years ago. See the webpage, Yah did not cease speaking 2,000 years ago. There is no canon of Scripture. For this reason, it is manifest error to believe that modern writings by anointed writers are less inspired or less anointed than the Bible. In fact, I know of a case of at least one modern emissary or apostle who has been given major revelation and seriously discounted it because they did not consider their revelation to be as important as the Bible. It's gross error. This particular individual had substantial visions. He was slack in recording those visions, And in the preface to his book, he says, well, he knows that what he experiences is not have the same authority as the Bible, and therefore people should have cause to doubt it. Tragic. Man given the most dramatic visions of this age, of almost any age, and he discounts them because he worships the Bible. Do you have any idea how tragic that is? Do you have any idea how sad it is? Do you have any idea how frustrating it is for the Almighty and for Yeshua who set this thing up for this man? And then I hate to have to say this, but the Quran is more anointed than the Bible, and you should read it. It is important to note that the Quran is more anointed than the Bible and for the most part more accurate. The main difference between the Quran and the Bible is that the Quran condemns the Christians and Jews for worshipping their books, Bibles, and the Christians for worshipping Isa or Jesus, Yeshua. That said, many Muslims today have fallen into the trap of worshipping the Quran and worshipping Muhammad. I strongly recommend that you read the Quran at least once. Discount the calls to violence, just as you should discount the calls to violence in the Bible. Beyond that, there are a huge number of other books available to read and apply. See the web page, Important Information, for that information. Folks, my whole website is, I believe, a useful resource. Father has said it is. There's over 2,400 articles, over 1,000 web pages. It's indexed, there's search facilities, discussing a wide range of topics. If you've got questions about the things of the Almighty, you may well find the answer there. There's a series of menu options at the top, Google search, article search, keyword cloud, table of contents, where you may well find what you're looking for if you do a little bit of looking around. And I testify that Father has said that most of those writings are anointed. Most of them have some level of inspiration. They're worth spending time on their website. There's a set of books that you can download. It's a menu option towards the bottom of the menu where you can download 15 PDFs, which contain all my writings from 1998 or so to about May 2019. So I've written much more about the Bible. See the web page, The Bible, and the child page is under that. The endtimeissueministries.org website contains over 1,000 web pages of information on the anointed life and life generally, mostly written at a moderate level of anointing and inspiration. Most of this material up to May 2019 is available in 15 books for download at no charge. Go to the Compilation of Most Writings webpage. There are over 2,500 articles in the articles database. Look at the page articles on the website. I encourage you to take the Bible off any pedestal that you may have placed it on and place it at the same level of relevance and esteem as other anointed books you may have. Please feel free to email me for more information or to discuss this material. Folks, the key point here, ultimately, to cut to the chase, is Father wants a deep personal relationship with you. And that means he doesn't want you to have a deep personal relationship with a book, with your pastor, your imam, your rabbi, your priest, your yogi. He wants you to have a deep personal relationship with him. So put the book on one side. Understand it's a useful history book. And then go and read other things which will help you to know more about the Almighty, draw closer to the Almighty. There's a lot of good material on YouTube. There's a web page on important videos. There's a whole lot of videos there on YouTube that you can look at. There's a huge amount of information available, folks. So just to wrap up, I've got a little bit of time left over. So I'm going to touch on the article I spoke about earlier. Can you prove that the Bible is the holy word of God? So it's flipping the question around. It's available on the webpage, Can You Prove That the Bible is the Holy Word of God? The main sections are a deductive approach, my own experience, how I approach understanding these things today. My challenge to you to prove that you, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, prove it to me. Prove it to the people around you. I've had an interesting dialogue with a man who's accused me of all sorts of things in the last few weeks on the basis of some of my articles. And I eventually turned around and I said to him, can you prove to me the Bible is the Word of God? Well, silence. He's not answered me because he can't prove it's the Word of God because it's not the Word of God. Carrying on with my table of contents, I once believed this to be true. What is meant by the Holy Word of God? And there's a detailed examination of seven lies about the Bible that are implicit in the Holy Word of God. And then what is true about the Bible? So I plan to broadcast this in due course, but it's on the website. Can you prove that the Bible is the Holy Word of God? Folks, it's huge. If the Bible is not the Word of God and you believe it is the Word of God, you're believing a lie, and all liars will have time of judgment in hell. You will be tormented in hell for a season if you believe the Bible is the Word of God and it's not the Word of God. So you need to make sure that you get this right. You need to check it out and pray what you need to pray. There's a web page there, what to do if you don't agree with me. Have a look at that. Then as a postscript, the biggest error crippling believers. As a codicil to this article, please read the web page, biggest error crippling mature anointed believers. To sum that up, you are not a glove puppet. Father is not manipulating you to live your life. Yah is not going to take control of your life as so many people teach and believe. I believed this for years. It's a fundamental teaching in much of the Christian church. It's just not true, folks. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you. You're not in some sort of predestined script walking out something that was planned thousands of years ago and that you have no control over. It's just not that way, folks. You will determine your destiny when you die. It is a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly, effectively to earn your living. I keep getting begging letters from people. We're living in poverty. Please help us. Send money. Pray for money. No. Get your life right with Father. Ask him for wisdom. Pray. Fast. Pray. Spend days seeking him. He wants to help you, but you have to take the initiative. You have to take the lead. You have to go out there and get a job and earn your living. Stop sitting back waiting for God to drop money in your lap. It's not going to happen. Then to wrap up, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator today. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I can't stress this enough. The only reason that this universe exists, that this solar system exists, that the sun exists, that the planet Earth exists, that the moon exists, that the plants and animals exist, that you and I exist, is to have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator. He was lonely. He did all of this to have friends. So if you're not his friend, what's the point of your life? It's that brutal. If you die and you're not his friend, you're going to come before the judgment seat and you're going to realize that at some level you wasted your life. You can become his friend. You can end up for eternity on a high throne with great authority, great prestige, or you can end up in the outer darkness weeping and wailing and gnashing in teeth because you didn't have a relationship at all, or if you don't believe, you can end up as a demon in a casket in your grave. Please think about it. So key documents and a video on the main menu, the website, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, also to Jews, also to Muslims and others, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org or endtimeissueministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, in quotes. There are at least 3 podcast websites where all the back issues are available. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, the article search to locate the information looking for you. They're all across the top of the menu, and the Google search is particularly powerful. Search the whole website on any topic that you're looking for information. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it doesn't matter who you are. All the stuff about exclusivity in relationship with Father is nonsense. It doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or Hindu or Baha'i or Yogi or whatever. You can become a friend of Yah. It doesn't matter whether you're a witch or a Satanist or a warlock. You can become a friend of Yah. He will set you free. He will deliver you. He will help you change. He wants to become your friend. He wants you to become his friend. And he will go out of his way to help you get there. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, tall or short, fat or thin, wealthy or poor, educated or uneducated, blonde, blue-eyed, black hair, brown eyes, anything in between, African, Asian, European, whatever. It doesn't matter. He wants you to become his friend. You can become his friend. There are all sorts of articles on the website about becoming his friend. Dip in there, make a decision, say, Father, I want to become his friend. I challenge you to do that tonight. Thank you so much. Good night. Father.